The shloshim for my grandfather. So,
like to dedicate the shir in his honor, Meir ben Shmuel Alevi. So the, I think one of the most storied stories in all of Tanakh is the story of Yosef and the brothers, and it always seems to be very weird what the motivations are for this event. What would be so powerful, such an event that would bring the brothers to do such a thing to another brother? But that we'll try to get to in the second half of this year. The first half is just trying to get down to the actual point, who really sold Yosef. So if we read the story, on a very simple level, and what we've all learned in day school, it seems in a very, very clear what the answer is going to be. If you look at source one, Vayilchu echav lirot etzon aviyem bishchem. So the brothers go, and they go to take care of the flock in Shechem. And I'm just going to tell the story where you could follow me with the psukim. And Yaakov sends Yosef, and he says, "Well, you know, the brothers are all the way in Shechem, and they're in Chevron, so it's a nice drive, it's a nice walk. So, you know, go check up on them, let's see what's going on." So he does. And Yaakov tells him, "Go see how your brothers are doing and how the Fek is doing, and then come back to me and report." And Yosef goes from Chevron and he goes to Shechem, and he finds somebody on the way, and he asks him, "What do you want?" And he says, "I'm looking for my brothers." Okay. He gets there. If you look at Pasuk 18, Pasuk Yudchet, Vayir'u oto merachok, uvterem ikrav eleihem vayitnaklo oto lahamito. On the way, like they see him, like, "Oh, this is a good time." And this is when they make their plan. And this is the first plan that we see that's going on. The first plan is, let's kill him. The dreamer's here. This is their plan. Let's kill him. Tell our father that he was eaten up by this animal. And that's it. And this is going to be the plan. The Medrash talks about that. Who are these Ish el Achiv? Who are these brothers, Shimon and Levi? Because this is the other time that it says Achim. We know it says it Achim by Shimon and Levi as well. But in last week's parsha, when it talked about Shechem, there they were the brothers in Shechem. Here they're the brothers in Shechem. It's the same ones. But even if it's not Shimon and Levi, because the Pesukim doesn't say that, let's assume the brothers as a unit have made this decision. So again, without getting into the details of why they would make such a decision, which is a little crazy to kill your brother, or a lot crazy, but that's the first plan they have. So what happens? And even before he comes, Reuven says, "Vayishma Reuven vayatzilehu miadam vayomer lo nakenu nafesh." Let's not do this. Let's not kill him. Rather, what are we going to do? Pasuk 22. Vayomer alehem Reuven al tishpechu dam. That's the end of the plan. Let's not kill him. We'll throw him into the pit. Then the Torah reveals to us his inner reasoning. Oh. So he could save them and bring him back home. He obviously did not tell that to them, because if he would have told that to them, they would have said, "No, we want to kill him." So you see, "No, let's not kill him. We'll just throw him in the pit. Something will happen to him there. Don't worry." His plan was, "I'll take care of him from there." And they thought, "You know what? Fine. We won't have to kill him in our hands. You know, our hands don't have to get bloody. We'll put him there, and whatever will happen to him, will happen to him."
They won't have to actually do it. It'll be a grammar.
Correct. It'll be like, we just made it to happen. It happened to be, it happened. So that's their plan. So the first plan is the brother's plan to kill him, and then the second plan is Reuven's to save him. And then what happens? He comes, they take off his coat, they throw him into the pit. And we all know the famous Vayashlichu oto habora v'habora ken bomayim, and this pit is not just a pit. It's not just that it's no water in there. You know, the Medrash talks about how there's snakes and scorpions, and then fine. Then Pasuk 25 is even more extreme. One thing, you decided to kill him. Pasuk 25, Vayashvu lechol lechem. They're sitting down to have a nice meal. And then, Vaisu enehem vayiru, they pick up their eyes and they see, Vineo chad Ishmaelim ba migilad, these Ishmaelim are coming. Ugmalehem nosim nechod utzri valot olchim lorid mitzrayma. And they have a lot of merchandise that they are going to take down to Egypt. So Yehuda says, you know what? I have even a better plan. This is plan number three. Ma betza ki narog et achinu v'chisun edamo. Wait, one second. Didn't we already say that they weren't going to kill him?
But I'm not even a grandma.
Oh, so Yehuda's like, first of all, yes, we told Reuben we'll agree to put him in the pit, but really we're hoping he's going to die in the pit. So Yehuda says, you know what? We don't even have to leave him in the pit for him to die there. Rather, we'll sell him. Lechu v'nimkerenu l'Ishmaelim, Pasuk 27. Ve'adenu al tivo, our hands won't touch him. We won't have to do anything.
What happened? Why didn't the Nechoshen Rechabim eat him up?
Oh, so that's the famous Medrash, he was able to stay alive in that pit with snakes and scorpions, even though clearly that's not exactly the easiest thing to happen. But it happened. That was a clear miracle that he was able to stay alive through that.
It also seems that he was not in the pit very long.
Correct. But still, if you're in a pit with snakes and scorpions for an hour, that's not exactly a very... It's enough time for them to do something to you. So then Pasuk 27, Yehuda says, let's sell him. And then Pasuk 28. Vayavu anashim midyanim socharim. וימשכו ויעלו את יוסף מן הבור וימכרו את יוסף לישמעאלים ב-20 כסף ואביאו את יוסף מצרימה. So based on Pasuk 28, who sells Yosef?
Maybe the Midianim.
Maybe, who else? What else are our options?
Brothers.
The brothers. Or the Ishmaelim, right? Three options.
Yeah.
Even though we all assume that the brothers sold him. We all know that the brothers sold him. But we just read this pasuk, which we've read many times before. Like, whoa, maybe it's the Ishmaelim. Maybe it's the Midianim. Maybe it's the brothers.
Well, either way, the brothers were the cause of it.
Okay. But there's a big difference between being a cause and being the ones who... If they got 20 kesef, where's the money? Right? Why didn't the brothers fight about that afterwards? Where's the money? So you're right. There is a pasuk afterwards that talks about how Yosef says that he sold them. We'll get to that in a second.
The brothers gave him up to the Midianites. The Midianites took him out of the hole and sold him to Ishmael.
But that still means that Yosef, that the brothers were the ones who gave them to the Midianim.
Gave them.
Okay, they gave them, not sold them.
They had a contract.
They had some kind of contract. They didn't take money for it. And then the Midianim made money off of it. All these things are very possible, which is very weird. Why isn't it a little bit more clear? We usually have this very... If I would have asked you who sold, if I would have asked you this morning, just randomly, who sold the brothers, who sold Yosef, you would say the brothers. Now, it could be because what you're saying, well, they were the ones who were the clear reason why it happened, and I'm not arguing with you on that one, but if the bottom line transaction wasn't done by the brothers, that might change something in the longer term, which we'll get to in 2 minutes. So then we go back to Reuben. Yes?
He uses the term here. Nimkerenu, that it's a plural.
Correct. Obviously, so Yehuda on behalf of all of the brothers. Correct. It's not just Yehuda doing it himself. Even though these are three different plans, everybody's in on them. In other words, plan number one of the brothers was to kill him. Plan number two of Reuven was to save him. That was by himself. And plan three was Reuven saying, you know what, let's...
Yehuda.
Of Yehuda saying, let's pass him on.
Oh, you're talking about three groups of brothers, too, you know.
Oh, correct. But it seems that usually, almost... You never hear of the children of Bilhah and Zilpah having their own opinion. You have Reuven and Yehuda trying to be the representatives of Leah. You have Yosef trying to be the representative of Rachel. You don't really hear Dan or Naphtali, Gad or Asher saying we're talking on behalf of the Shvachot, of Bilhah and Zilpah's children. You're right that they were divided in between them, but so to speak, they understood their part, that they are under or Leah or Rachel, but they probably had their own opinions, but they didn't share them with us. Then Pasuk 29. Reuven comes back to the pit, and he's surprised. Yosef is in there, and he's like, well, what happened? He goes to the brothers and says, "Whoa, what am I going to do now?" Where was he? So there's a famous medrash, which we'll get to in 1 second, that says, well, Reuven wasn't with them. You know what? You could look at it right now. It's at the bottom of your page, source 3. The Radak says this, in the second half of the Radak. Reuven lo haya imahem, ulai halach el aviv, maybe he went to his father, o haya ro'e tzono levad b'makom acher, or he was with his flock in a different place.
If he was with his father, then what's the whole point of Yaakov sending Yosef?
100%. I agree with you.
Send brothers back every day to report. So you're
talking about
Yosef
very long distances.
A, it's a very long distance. B, it would make no sense sending Yosef to Shechem to find out what the brothers are doing if every day somebody else is coming. Radak says this, and Rashi says this as well, that where was Reuven? It was his turn to be with his father. So it would be his turn to be with his father. Why would Yaakov send Yosef to check up on them? If he was getting a daily or even a weekly report, so what's the point of sending him?
Some measures said that they were supposed to be in Shechem, and they weren't in Shechem, because Yosef went there and he was trying to...
He wasn't there, they were in Dotan.
So they sent somebody to Shechem, so they always have somebody in Shechem.
Okay, but Shechem to Dotan is not that is not as far. It's not even a quarter of the distance.
That's why he's there. When Yosef was taken out of the pit. That's
okay.
Why he comes back and he doesn't know what's going on. Where is Yosef?
But there's another reason, and the reason is that Yosef was the businessman in the family, and we know later on when he was in Mitzrayim, and the brothers were not so clever. And so Yaakov sent Yosef to see not so much the brothers, but they see what they were doing with the sheep. This was his whole fortune in the sheep. And that's why he really sent them.
Still the problem with that idea is that if he needs Yosef to send to find out what's going on with the money,
yeah.
So he should have been there from the beginning and leave one of the brothers
back
from the beginning. In other words, I'm not arguing with you. I think that's a very logical explanation, saying Yosef's the guy in charge. He knows how to run the business, so let him run the business. Why did he stay behind from the beginning? He should have been there from the beginning. He should have been on site. So I agree with you 100% that this idea of Rashi and Radak, of Reuven being away by his father, in my humble opinion, I don't understand it. I'm not saying it doesn't make sense. I don't understand because it doesn't make...
Now that Yosef is here, there is nobody. So Reuven took it out himself.
And on the other hand, correct. But Binyamin is assuming... Everyone assumes that Binyamin never left the house. Binyamin, because he always left because he was the youngest. So if Binyamin's home, so what do we need another one? I'm not sure. The other option that Rashi and Radak are giving is that he had his own flock and he was with that somewhere else. That makes a little more sense, although again, it's missing from the psukim. But okay, you know, he has his own business; he's taking care of it.
He has another opinion that he was doing teshuva, and he wasn't by the meal.
So he was doing teshuva. So he's doing teshuva about what he did last week with Bilha, and also that makes sense that he's by himself. That makes more sense, again, in my opinion, than going back to the father. Now we'll keep that again for 1 second. So now, what do they do? So now, plan A of the brothers to kill him did not happen. Plan B of Reuven to save him did not happen. Plan C of Yehuda to sell him, we're not sure if it really happened or not. Did the brothers actually sell him? Or did the Midianim come in and kidnap him? Or what exactly is going on? But the bottom line that they do is...
They didn't kidnap him because they took him out of the... The brothers took him out.
Oh, so you're assuming, and I'm... At this moment, that makes sense, that the brothers took him out of the pit, even though they didn't do the actual selling, they were the ones who were helping out the situation. So they go back to Yaakov and they say, listen, this is what happened, and you know, we found the coat and the blood on it. Do you know what's going on? And clearly, that's not exactly what happened. That's the lie that they say, and Yaakov never heals from this situation. Up until now, we learned this. Basically, according to Rashi. Everything we've said so far is basically according to Rashi. There is another approach, which is Rashi's grandson, called the Rashbam. And he says, he says it very differently. So just to summarize Rashi's approach in source 2, he says, Vayavu anashim midyanim, zohi shayara acheret, that there were two different there were two different people. There were the Ishmaelim and there were the Midianim. There were two different groups of people. And he says, he was sold many times. And that's why he says, Vayim Shechu. So, Bnei Yaakov et Yosef, the brothers picked Yosef out of the pit. They sold him to the Ishmaelim. The Ishmaelim sold him to the Midianim. The Midianim sold him to Egypt. Four times he sold very quickly. That's the bottom line. That's Rashi's approach. The Radak says the same thing. That was source 3, what we saw before. The Rashbam, on the other hand, says it very differently. The Rashbam says, in source 4, Vayavu anashim idyanim. Betoch shehayu yoshvim le'echol lechem, the brothers, since the brothers were eating their bread, having their meal, ve'rechokim hayu k'tzat min habo, they were a little distant from the pit. Le'viltiachol al adam. Because even though they're trying to kill their brother, they're not going to sit there while he's dying from these scorpions and snakes, begging and yelling for his life, and eating. That's too cruel. So they went further away, so they won't have to hear him. V'mamtinim ayu le'ishmaelim sheru, and they were waiting for the Ishmaelim to come, because they already saw him. The Ishmaelim, obviously, with all that merchandise that they had, it was a clear group of, you know, it's like when you see... When you see those 300 trains coming by, you see them a long way. It's coming by. So the Ishmaelim, you see them. They saw them that they're coming. They say, okay, we still have time to eat lunch. Let's eat lunch. And when they come, we'll sell them. They called them Shebao Ishmaelim. And before the Ishmaelim were able to arrive, Avu Anashim Midyanim Acherim Derech Sham. The Midyanim people walk by. And they were a small group, so the brothers didn't notice them. Ve'ra'uhu babuo, they see Yosef in the pit. U'meshachuhu u'mecharu ha'midyanim le'ishmaelim. The Midianim are the ones who take them out, who take Yosef out of the pit. They are the ones who sell him to the Ishmaelim. V'yesh lomar she'achim lo yadu. The brothers did not know. Ve'af al pi ha'sh... So, v'yesh lomar she'achim lo yadu. So how don't the brothers know? Because they're not there. They're sitting a little bit further away. Even just based on the pasuk, that they say that they put the pit was in the... That the pit was in the desert, right? Pasuk 22. Hashlichu oto el habor hazeh asher b'midbar. Now obviously the midbar doesn't have to mean far away, like in Midbar Yehuda. I'm not saying that it's that far away, but they're in Shechem or in Dotan, and the midbar is the wilderness somewhere else. They're not eating there. They're going back to their base. And that's it. And they don't know about it. So how do they find out that Yosef was actually already sold? When Reuven goes. So instead of assuming that Reuven was the last to know, he's actually the first to know. And why does this make even more sense? Because Reuven, what was his plan?
To save him.
So how could he have left, gone back to Hebron, and assume that the brothers would, you know, just wait around with him for all that time? Even if, and it makes, in this way, if we assume he didn't participate in the meal because he was doing tshuva, or if he was taking care of his own business, that was his way to get out of the meal with the brothers, and come from behind and say, oh, okay, now that the brothers are gone, I'll send him back home. They'll think that he was already sold, and then we get back home to Hebron, surprise, Yosef is here, now Abba is going to save, you know, guard him stronger, and everything will be okay. So when Yosef gets to the pit, he's like, oh my God, he's not here anymore. The whole thing goes down in flames. He has no idea what to do. He goes back to the brothers. Vayashov Reuven Elechav. The pasuk says twice Vayashov. Vayashov El Abo, Vayashov Elechav. Reuven's coming back once, and Reuven comes back a second time. Because Reuven's the one who's trying to make sure that he isn't sold, that he isn't kidnapped, that he isn't murdered. Reuven's the one who's looking out for him. Now, of course, the problem that we have, because this, I think this makes a lot more logical sense. The problem is, the pasuk says, "Ve'af al pi asher katav asher mechartem oti mitzrayim." Yosef says later on that the brother sold him. Now, that's obviously a very big problem according to this perush that is saying that the Midianim did it. But then comes in your point. Yesh lomar shehagramat maaseyhem si'a bimchirato. What they did led to it. If they wouldn't have been put in the pit and then left to go eat their lunch, then they wouldn't would not have had the ability or the possibility to go and kidnap. And keep this in mind for a second. We'll think again. Up until now, we haven't said what Yosef thinks. We just said the story. In a second, we'll think what Yosef is thinking, and that will make even more sense. Yeah?
But their intent was always to sell.
100%.
Right.
So. But they didn't. According to...
Right.
You know, we have this statement that a good deed, Hashem connects it with your thought. You thought to do something good, then, you know, Hashem will keep it in mind. Even though you weren't able to do it. But a bad thing, if you didn't do it yet... You know, I wanted to do something bad, but I didn't. You can't accuse me of doing. You could accuse me maybe, but you can't convict me of something I didn't do. The Netziv in source 5 takes it even one step further. He says Hamidyanim veHa'achim sheRa'u samchu baze. Says VaYimshechu, who are the ones who pushed them out, who pulled them out? The Midyanim. The brothers saw this and were happy. Their will was happening without them having to get dirty. But if Yehuda wouldn't have said, you know, let's do this plan, they wouldn't have allowed this to happen. Without Yehuda's plan, all we would have had left still is Reuven's plan. Reuven's plan was to leave in the pit. He thought to save them. They thought, okay, we won't kill him with our own hands. We'll let the pit do the job. But they were assuming we're just going to leave him in the pit and never touch him again. Yehuda says, you know, let's sell him. It'll be better. So they say, no, okay. Oh, they mean they want to do it by themselves? Be our guest. We're not going to bother you.
Right, they passed by and he heard the yelling and screaming. He's in the hole. They came out, they saved him.
Right, they mean they probably think that they were the best people around. This guy could have died. We took him out. Now we're going to give him a job. We'll give him a job. And, you know, he's going to work for a living and... everything will be okay. אבל משהוחלט אצלם לעשות כן, היה להם לנחת כשנעשה לידי מדיינים. They were, since they decided that this is what they were going to do, they were going to sell him after they were in the pit. So when it was done by the מדיינים, they were happy. והיינו דעית בבראשית רבה פרק פי דלת, like it says in the Medrash, שנגנב יוסף שתי פעמים. He was, so to speak, kidnapped twice. The brothers kidnapped him from the father when they put him in the pit. And the second time, when the Midianim kidnapped him from the brothers. But still, he told the brothers when he reveals himself and says, I'm Yosef, you were the ones who sold me. They were the ones again who were the motive behind it. They were the ones who allowed it to happen, and they didn't do anything about it. And he says this is like the Rashbam's parish, but I think it's even a little bit more spicy. And the Chizkuni in source 6 also brings the same idea, and he says that the Midianim hear it because they're hearing this guy yelling and screaming and crying, and they pull him out and they sell him. And this way, this is how you sold 3-4 times. And then he says on the top of the last page, the top of page 4, he explains what we were saying before about Reuven. Ve'echav lo yadu me'uma mikol zot. The brothers had no idea of all of this. Uchshalach Reuven elabor ve'lo metzo. And when Reuven went to the pit and didn't find him, chashvu kulam chayara achalatu. They really thought that
the animals ate them.
So they're not even lying, according to the Chizkuni. According to the Chizkuni, they're not lying when they're telling the father, when they're telling Yaakov, so that he was eaten up.
They didn't see it at all,
according to Chizkuni. According to the Rashbam and the Netziv, they saw that the Midianim took them, like, oh, thank God, somebody took care of it for us. The Chizkuni says, no. They were so far away eating their meal, they did not see it for a second. And then when Reuven comes back to the pit, he doesn't see him. He has a heart attack. He goes back to the brothers and says, what happened? And like, oh, I don't know. We didn't do anything. We didn't see anything. So he's like, so they really thought.
But why would they?
One second. They really thought that this is what happened, that he was eaten up. And therefore, they do this whole ceremony of, you know, spilling blood on the coat and giving it back to the father. Because otherwise, that's a terrible lie. And even more, if they would have told, would it, he's saying, "V'lo shikul avihim, shi mecharu l'shum adam." If they would have sold him, don't you think the father Yaakov would have been looking for him? Yaakov didn't look for him. Why? Because they said he was eaten up. Why did they say they'd eaten up? Because they had no idea. Because they had no idea. They wouldn't have lied. The Chizkuni doesn't think that it's a problem that they were willing to sell him or kill him, but they weren't going to lie to their father. That's a different kind of a sin. It's one thing to kill him, which we'll get to a second why it's okay in their mind to do that. But it's another thing to lie to their father. So then when Reuven comes back and reports, listen, I have no idea what happened. And they're like, we have no idea what happened. So they really did assume that some animal came in and, you know, devoured him. So that's the story they told Yaakov.
It's making a distinction between lying and assuming as storytelling.
Okay.
But why would they have to dip the coat head into it?
They took off the coat before they put him in the pit.
Yeah, but they didn't have to. They just could have said that.
Well, it looks better if he.
They're going to say, "Well, we dropped him in a pit,
you know,
and now he's not there."
Exactly. So this way, they're not lying. They're saying, "Listen,
this is what they think happened.
We think that he was killed." Now, yes, they're adding some ketchup on the coat to make it look a little better. But that's really what they think, according to Chizkuni. According to the Rashbam and the Netziv and Rashi, they're straight up liars, which is how I always assumed the story was. But what Chizkuni is saying, really, they had no idea. Now, that doesn't make them less guilty. They were still a very bad thing that they were willing to put him in the pit, and they didn't care that he was there while they're going to eat lunch. And then they let the whole thing get out of hand without even being on top of things. That obviously is very bad.
And from Yosef's point of view, he was sold. Because that's the part he heard before he stuck.
Very good. Very good. So first of all, now let's think back. Before we get to Yosef's approach, just 1 second. This also explains why Yosef never looks for Yaakov. Why doesn't Yosef try to get connected again with the family?
There's a pshat that he figured daddy was involved.
That he was involved.
Was involved. Oh,
because let's think of the details. Okay, let's think of what he knows. He knows that his father sent him off from Hebron to Shechem to see how the brothers are doing. Okay? Now, it's even better if, according to what you were saying, that he was the businessman and therefore he went to go check it out. Okay, maybe that's a good alibi for Yaakov, but all he knows, he was sent to Shechem to find out what's going on with the brothers. Then, the second he gets there, before he does anything, they want to kill him, put him in a pit, or sell him. Bad, worse, terrible. Okay? And then this is what happens to him. He assumes that he was sold, because that's the only part he heard. Doesn't matter if it happened with the Midianim or not. Doesn't matter. Yes, it looks a little bit better. I mean, it's maybe a stronger argument if the brothers do it themselves. But even if the Midianim do it, the brothers clearly allowed for it to happen, or they weren't guarding him, or whatever it was. So that's the part he knows. He knows that he was sold, and now the brothers never came looking for him. Yaakov never sends anybody looking for him. Obviously, they were happy that he was gone. Now, it's a little it's a pretty strong conspiracy against Yaakov. But why would Yosef have that motivation to do that? Because now we go back to the main to the original thing, which we didn't mention at the beginning. Why did they hate him so much? Okay, so he had a nicer shirt. So he had some crazy dreams. So what? If my brother would have told me, listen, I had a dream that you're going to bow down to me, I would say, go back to sleep.
You also informed on them to the father.
Okay. No one here has ever been told on to his parents?
1 second. But concerning the dreams, the first, if you go back, the first dream, he told just to the brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Second dream, he went and he told to his father.
Mm-hmm.
His father was in the second dream because his father
was upset.
Correct. And what was his father? What was his father's response? He was upset. Correct.
Why? Because he realized that this was going to happen.
Okay.
And the brothers, the first time, they said, "Oh, he's nuts." But when the second dream came along, said, "Maybe there is something to this," and therefore they were very upset. with him, and they didn't know how to handle this whole thing with him. And the same thing when he went into the pit. When it says, Ein bo maim, as soon as it says, Ein bo maim, and it tells you what isn't in there, it has to tell you what is in there. Now, had the brothers taken the time to look into the pit and see that there were scorpions and snakes, and they were not biting his brother, they would have realized again the miracle surrounding their brother. And they really didn't want to see it.
So, I'll add that to what the parts of what Yaakov, of what Yosef knows. So he knows that Yaakov sent him. That he knows that the brothers sold him, and he knows that his father wasn't happy after that. It doesn't make a difference why right now. Because he didn't want it to happen, he understood that it happened. So Yosef's like, wait a second. If nobody's happy with what I'm doing, then this is another time where one brother is pushed aside, and the other brother, in this case brothers, is the chosen one. Because as we know, that happened in the previous generation, Esav and Yaakov, one is in the picture, one is out of the picture. Previous generation, Yitzchak and Ishmael, one is in the picture, one is out of the picture. And even Avram Avinu, what did he do? He sent them away. Now, he didn't kill him. He didn't want him to die. He gave him water, he gave him food, he gave him presents, he did lots of things for him. But he sent him away. So if Yosef is sitting in jail, if Yosef is sitting in jail and has too much time to think, what is he thinking about? My father was willing to send me away and allow the brothers to sell me. He wasn't happy with my dreams. Clearly, he didn't agree with my approach. Clearly, he valued the approach of Yehuda more, and therefore he chose them. So Yosef fails. Okay, I'm out of the story. Now, when he actually reveals himself, what are the psukim? Look in source 7. Which just raises the question even more, why didn't he try to get in touch with Yaakov? Because obviously he couldn't get in touch with him when he was in the jail, and obviously he couldn't do it when he was a slave, and obviously he couldn't do it, you know, when he was in the pit. He only could do it once he was the number two person in the world. So once he's number two in the world, and this was for at least 9 years, right? 7 years of the good years and the 2 years of the bad before they come down. And I would assume that the good years don't start the day of the dreams. So there's at least 9 years where Yosef is the number two in the world. He doesn't do anything. Why? Then, vayavou achei Yosef, vayishtachru vulo apayim arza. Brothers come and they bow down to him. Vayar Yosef et echav, vayakirem. He sees them and he recognizes them. Then he gets nasty to them. What's the point? The pasuk says again, "Vayaker Yosef et achav vehem lo yikiruhu." Vayizkor Yosef et achalomot asher chalam lahem. Now he remembers the dreams. Not that he was motivated by the dreams up until now. He thought for the last 22 years that the dreams were denied, that the dreams were sent off. Yaakov doesn't like them. Yaakov sends him away. The brothers sold him. He thought that Yaakov said, enough. I don't agree with this approach. I agree with Yehuda's approach. I agree with that approach. We spoke about this last year a little bit between the difference between Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David. I agree with that approach, not with your approach. Goodbye, you're gone. So now, when they see him, he remembers the dreams. Oh, they just bowed down. So how are we going to make sure the dreams really work out? What's the next thing he says? I didn't bring it down here. But what's the next thing he asks? Before he asks about the father, about Binyamin. Why? Because if Binyamin is still around, if there's still somebody from the Rachel side of the world still in the house, then I wasn't denied. And it really was that they were just not nice to me. And Yaakov wasn't happy about that. Then he asks, what about Yaakov? And then that's how he reunites the family. Because then he realizes, wait a second, if Binyamin is still alive, and Yaakov is still alive, so the dreams could come out and will be fulfilled, then he understands the full circle. But otherwise, he's assuming that he was just denied. He was pushed off. The same way that other brothers have been pushed off in the previous generations. That was his assumption. And this all now makes sense. That he if the brother, why were the brothers going to kill him? So obviously the killing is taking it one step too far. But in their mind, if Yosef is supposed to be the leader and he's busy with telling on them to the father instead of doing tzedakah u'mishpat like Avram was supposed to, and if he's the one who's willing, if he's the one who's supposed to lead us and we don't like the way he's leading us, so we have to move that approach away. So again, clearly by killing him, that's the not right thing. But again, assuming it's Shimon and Levi, so it's not crazy because they always take care of things with murder. That's how they did it with Shechem last week. That's how they're going to do it this week. Yehuda says, wait a second, if all we want is just for his approach to be denied, all we need to do is actually sell him. We'll just sell him. He'll be away. He'll be somewhere else. We won't be able to find him. And that's it. We don't have to kill him. Reuven says even more, you know, you don't even have to sell him. We could just tell him, listen, you were not chosen. Your approach is denied. Go sit home and be quiet. That was Reuven's approach. And this works out even better according to what the Chizkuni and the Rashbam are saying, that they didn't even have to actually get their hands dirty and do it. They were just happy that this was taken care of because their point wasn't to actually kill him. The point was just for his approach to be denied. And that explains why he didn't look for them. He didn't look for them because he understood the message. I understand. You don't want me anymore. I'm gone. Goodbye. I have a quiet life. Yes, it's in jail. It's not nice. It's not great. But Yosef, being the good businessman and being the good person that he was able to go up the rankings, and he became the head of the jail, and then he became the head of this, and he was always able to get up. I'm not going to bother them. They're not going to bother me. And that's all. When it all comes out that really none of their plans worked out, then Yosef goes back to the original dream. He goes back to the original dream and says, wait a second, I was successful. I was able to get all of them here to bow down to me. And my approach was not denied. Rather, this whole craziness happened. And now he understands that Yaakov really did not know. Because again, as we said, he assumed that Yaakov
was part of it.
That was part of the conspiracy.
What happened to Yaakov?
When the brothers revealed to him and say, one brother got lost, and the father is crazy worry about him, and that's why he won't let us take the other brother. Oh, so he doesn't know. Now, he doesn't know why he doesn't know yet. He doesn't know if it's because the brothers made up the story. Did they sell him? Did they not sell him? That is never told. When at the end of Parashat Vayechi, when the brothers tell Yosef, you know, our father said we have to say forgiveness. I mean, we never know what Yaakov knew, what Yaakov didn't know. We don't know if their brothers understood the whole story. We don't know if Yosef... Yes, but we know that it was taken away from him at this point. If he was a Navi, he should have realized right away that he wasn't killed. Medrash says straight up that he was, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took that away from him. Correct. So that was taken away from him right away. So that's how this whole story came out. And Yitzchak, no, and he didn't tell him. That, the Medrash says that clearly. But as nobody was ever given the full 100% details of all the story. Yosef is trying to get, you know, add up the details. The brothers are trying to add up the details, and Yaakov is trying to add up the details, but nobody, at least we don't see it anywhere, that they all sat together and said, okay, what really happened here? That never comes out, that never happens. But when Yosef understands what he understands it happens, so he says, don't worry about it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it work out, because even if you guys actually sold me, or the Midianim sold me, the end of the day, no, this is what was supposed to happen. And Yaakov at the end of the day is happy that everybody's together again. And their brothers at the end of the day are happy that they weren't the ones who actually sold them. Rather, it just happened. Now, the last problem that we have left with this is the famous Medrash, and that we also say this on Yom Kippur, the Medrash of and the piyut about the 10 asara ugei malchut that are against the 10 brothers for what they did, and how those 10 people were, those 10 tzaddikim were killed in the time of the Beit HaMikdash as so to speak, as a repentance for what happened in the time of Yosef. So I think it still could work out from that point that even though they didn't actually physically sell him according to the Chizkuni and the Rashbam, they still were the ones who allowed it to happen, and that still brings back the idea of Sinat Chinam. And the Sinat Chinam that happened in the time of Yosef and the brothers was the same Sinat Chinam that happened in the time of Bayit Sheni. And that's why, that's what happens. It still comes out to play, and it still all works out. I think, again, just to summarize, I think that this is a very, again, it's, I'm not saying it's very difficult to say which one is the right one, Rashi or the Rashbam. You know, we all know that the Rashbam grew up on Rashi's parish because Rashi was his grandfather. So it's not like he didn't know Rashi's approach, that he had to make up his own. But that from whichever way we look at this story, we come out to find this terrible hate, that even if it has great ideology behind it, it has great ideology behind it, it's still a very strong and violent ending to it, which, as we know, Baruch Hashem at the end happens to conclude in a positive way, because it fulfills Yaakov's it fulfills HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan, and they had to go down to Egypt anyways, and it all works out. But the details, sometimes how these things come out to play, could be very different. Could lead to very almost opposite ways. But just the understanding, the better understanding of how this story comes out to play, I think, is a very interesting message for us as well this week.
Yeah,
have a Shabbat Shalom.
Child.